Well, amen. Aren't y'all glad Jesus is alive this morning?
Amen.
And aren't y'all glad we had the choir and Peggy to sing that this morning? Amen. That's very good. Thank y'all. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. I hope that you come ready to get a blessing, because I believe the Lord wants everyone here to have that blessing. If you missed Sunday school, I want to invite you to be with us next week for Sunday school. We've got some great lessons going on, and so I think you'll really would enjoy studying the Word, and we have some great teachers, and so I'd ask you to be a part of that. This morning we're going to be in Job chapter 1, and so be turning there if you haven't already, and that's in the Old Testament, of course. I think it's Nehemiah and Esther and then Job, I believe, but you be turning there. And you know, I've heard a lot of people over the years say, talk about someone having the patience of Job, but you know, really, to me, it's not about patience, it's about faith. We need to have the faith of Job. Unfortunately, not many of us have that, but you know, this morning's Sunday school lesson was about being content and what it means to be content and a godly content. And I think Job really is the picture of godly content, because this was a man who loved the Lord like probably no one else has. Probably had more than a lot of people ever would think about having, but had it all taken away from him. And it was a test. It was a test of Satan. It wasn't a test of God. It was a test of Satan. And so as we get in, and like I said, there's 42 chapters, I believe, in the book of Job. We're going to try to cover about part of one this morning, but I promise we won't hit all 42, but you know, there's about 42,000 messages in the book of Job, but I want to focus on chapter 1 this morning, and maybe sometime we'll preach the other 43 chapters, I don't know, or 41 chapters. But if you're there, if you would please stand as we honor God in reading His Word, and we're going to read the first 12 verses, so bear with me just a little bit. But it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one of in his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with him. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and have cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, there was a day came when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered to the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, and hath blessed the work of his hand, and his substance hath increased in the land? But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for the example of a man that truly loved you. God, he loved you more than anything else. He loved you more than his family. He loved you more than his material things. He loved you more than his very being. And God, I pray this morning that we'll all get our affairs in order. Lord, bad times come, but God, you're always constant. You're the consistent person in our life. God, I pray this morning that not one person will walk out these doors without understanding that without you, they have nothing. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, we see every day that everybody these days have hardships and crises in their life, and death and disease and warfare and hardships and pain and sorrow and all these things come our way. You know, just this week my heart was broken when I saw the report of the three-year-old that got run over by the school bus. We see things like that all the time. We see where people lose their jobs, they lose their family, they lose family members, and you know, it tells a lot of about who we are and how we react there. And so Satan was convinced if God removed his hand from Job, that everything would fall apart to the point that Job would point his finger in God's face and curse him. God knew Job. God knew who Job was. He knew what Job was capable of, and God had no problem allowing Satan to do what he did to him. You see, true happiness, true contentment in the spiritual realm is that we understand that there's a warfare going on, folks. If I could get people to understand the war that's going on in each of our lives that we can't see. There's a spiritual war that's going on that we absolutely cannot see. That's why I named this message the Unseen War, because it's there. It's just that we don't realize it's going on. We get a glimpse of what's going on in the Scripture. First of all, I want you to understand Job was an unlikely candidate. Now, you know, as we read there, we see, first of all, look at his character. Listen, this man was a man of purity. He was a man of integrity. Listen, he was the epitome of a godly person. He was holy. Listen, he was all these things. That's his character. Then we look at his commodities. What did he have? Well, he was wealthy. I mean, we read off a list. He had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and on and on and on and on and on. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Bible says he was the wealthiest of everybody in the East. I mean, he had more than everybody. Listen, you know, we've seen so many times that our wealth is not judged by what we have in the bank. Our wealth is what's judged by what we have in our heart. And so we see that he had everything that anybody could possibly want. God had given it to him. Riches and a large loving family and all these things. But then in verse 5, we see his commitment. Look at his commitment. Listen, he served as the family priest. Listen, men, we ought to all be the family priest of our family. I'm going to go ahead and call our men out today. All the ladies out a couple weeks ago. Men, we have got to be the spiritual leaders in our family. You see, what Job wanted was for his family to have what he had. And so the Bible clearly says that he was the family priest. What do I mean by that? Well, what he did was said that he got up. It was the day of their feasting, and so he rose up early in the morning and he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them. In other words, every one of his family, he offered up an offering for the atonement of their sins, as the priest would do if at that time if you're gone into the priest. And so he offered up the offering, and he said, it might be that one of my sons has sin in their life, and I don't want them to go out of this world having sin in his life. He prayed for his family. He offered sacrifices to his family. He did everything that he could to lead the family. Men, that's your job. That's your job this morning, to lead your family in a godly way. And make sure that you lead your children to the Lord. Make sure that you do the right influence on your children so that they will come to know the Lord. That was what Job wanted to do. He wanted to make sure that they understood that it wasn't the material things that they had in life that meant anything to them. It was the spiritual things. And so we see next, then I want you to look at his consistency. It said that he did this continually. Every day was spent in holy living by Job and seeking God. Folks, A lot of us would be a lot better off if we'd do that. If we'd spend every day seeking God and spend every day trying to live for Him and live our lives the way that He would have us to live. You see, it's when we detour from that path, when we begin to get into trouble. It's when we're removed from what we're supposed to be doing that we begin to get into trouble. He did it continually, every day. But something was about to happen in His life. Just like many times we don't understand and see the things that are going on in our lives. We don't know the spiritual battle that's going on. But in verse 6, it said, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now, Job was in an unseen conflict. Job was on earth. This was taking place in heaven. Job had no idea what was about to happen to him and his family. He's getting up every day, doing his prayers, offering his sacrifices, living his holy life, and seeking God's face in everything that he did. He was doing it perfect. But yet something was about to happen. There was something about to happen in his life that he knew nothing about. So first of all, we see the assembly in heaven in verse 6. First of all, the sons. It says that the sons of God came. Now, you know, we don't know for certain what was going on at this time. That this is about all we know about it. It's what we read right here. But what we do know is that there were some sons of God, some angelic beings that had gathered together and presumably to give a report to God about their service. You see, we have angelic beings and then we have human beings. And in the spiritual world, angels are everywhere. Angelic beings are everywhere. Matter of fact, the Bible said Satan was a fallen angel. And so all these people were up there. We have no idea really what was going on other than what God's Word tells us. But we know this, that not only were the sons there, but the serpent was there as well. Now think about this. You got to know who Satan is to really understand what he was doing there. But the Bible says, first of all, he's a liar, he's a deceiver, he's an accuser. I mean, that's what he does. In your life and in my life, we don't realize this, but Satan has always been the accuser for us, Jesus being the defender and the advocate of us. Because Jesus knows once we've trusted Him and Him alone for eternal life, then Jesus will do our fighting for us with Satan. And he won't allow Satan to be a deceiver. He won't allow Satan to be a liar, but that's what he is. And you notice God, we see the acknowledgement of what God said. God had the first word. He calls Satan to account for what he's doing. He said, what are you doing, Satan? Where'd you come from? Satan admitted to him doing what the New Testament says, records that he said. He said, Satan is going to and fro throughout all the world, throughout all the earth, seeking whom he can devour and destroy. Folks, if we ever understand, Satan wants to destroy your life. That's what he's looking to do. Listen, he knows he's doomed for hell. He knows that's where he's going to spend eternity. And so his main job is to make your life a living hell. Have you ever thought about that? He can't make you go to hell if you have trusted Christ. But he can make your life so terrible that he wants to discourage you away from Christ. See, what God knows and what I know is that the Bible says that no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. All Satan can do, he can't make you no longer a Christian. He cannot rip your salvation from you, but he can make your life miserable. And so that's what he's doing. He admits to God. He said, I've been going to and fro. And so we know by God's response then, the last word he says, have you considered my servant Job? Now, we know from what the conversation was, Satan clearly says, God, I've been going to and fro all over this earth, seeking whom I can destroy. God says, have you considered my servant Job? Now folks, think about this. Job was living a perfect life. He was walking step by step with God. He thought and lived and breathed a holy life. But yet God says, have you considered my servant Job? You see, folks, sometimes things just happen. We're going to see if we could study the whole 42 chapters, I could show you a lot. But we're not going to do that today. But what we see is that God had that last word. So then in verse 9 and 10, we see the accusation in heaven. Satan's true colors come out. Satan then said, doth Job fear God for naught? Has thou not made him a hedge about him? In other words, he says, God, you're not fooling me. You've blessed him with all this stuff. You have put this hedge of protection around him. But I guarantee you, you remove all that from him and he'll curse you to your face. See, that's what Satan does. Satan would like nothing better than for you to go through a terrible time in your life and blame God, which people always do. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've sat and counseled with people, and I understand that. I get that. Sometimes you're so distraught. And they say, why did God do this to me? But listen, it's kind of normal to get bitter for a little while with God, but if you stay bitter, you got a major problem. Once you've had time to sit down and consider the situation you're going through, if you stay bitter with him, then you got major problems. God said, bring it on, Satan. That's basically what he does. See, Satan reveals the reality of who he is. You see, I've already told you his name means adversary. His name means accuser. And so Satan tells the Lord, you give me a few minutes with Job, and you won't have this faithful servant that you think you have. Folks, I wonder how many times Satan had a few minutes in your life, if we would change the kind of person we are. You see, it's very difficult to endure terrible situations in your life, but yet we know that that comes. Third point then, Job was what? About to be in an unbelievable crisis. God says something. He says, okay, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has. Satan says, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. See, Satan revealed who he was. There's a lot in the Bible I don't understand. I know the Bible says that God cannot even look upon sin. But here we have Satan daily before God, in God's face, the very originator of sin himself. See, it was Satan who sinned and left God. Then it was Satan who sinned and come to the earth and began to destroy and seek and destroy people, even Adam and Eve, the very first people. His goal was to seek and destroy them and to deceive them. And I'm thinking, you know, good thing I'm not God. But God understood that thousands of years later, we'd be sitting here learning about this faithful servant, Job. And what it means to be a true servant, just not someone on Sunday, or just not someone a couple times a week, but to be a servant every day, he saw that. And so Job was about to be in an unbelievable crisis. Now, we didn't have time to read all this, but first of all, he was going to lose his family. Verse 18 said that all of his sons and daughters were gathered together for a feast, for a celebration. And there's a tornado, hurricane, windstorm, or something came and blew the house down and killed everyone in it. Just like that, his whole family was wiped away. Now, folks, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy. it's terrible if we lose one person. Like I said, again, I thought about the little three-year-old and how devastating that must be, that family. But here's a man that lost everybody, sons, daughters, grandchildren, everything. He lost his entire family. And then he would lose his finances. Listen, we also see in verses 14 through 17 when he talks about this, but he lost all of his sheep. Fire rained down from heaven and burned every one of them up. He lost all of his camels. He lost all of his servants. Some of the stuff was stolen. Some of them were murdered. He lost everything he had. We also said he would lose his friends. Listen, sometimes your friends are really disappointing, aren't they? But you know, they found a way to blame Job with all this. You know, they first time or two things, you know, they were a little bit compassionate, but then they began to murmur among themselves. Then everywhere that he went, they said, why don't you go ahead and confess that sin that's caused you to lose everything that you have? You are a sinner. You've got hidden sin in your life, and you need to produce it right now. And then they begin to stay away from him because they're afraid it'd rub off on them. So now he's lost his friends. Later, and Job certainly went through a lot of things in his life. Certainly, there's when you read the next 41 chapters, you'll see there's times when it appeared that Job was depressed, like who wouldn't have been, when he was discouraged, but he never gave up on God. Even the time when his wife looked him in the face and said, why don't you curse God and die? So in other words, she said, I'd rather you curse God and be dead than to continue to go through what we're going through. There's a lot of people that look at that, folks. There's a lot of people that just don't get what it means to be a Christian. They just don't get what it is that God's trying to do in their life. Remind me of the story of these two ladies sitting around talking one day, and they were thinking about philosophical things. You know, we do that sometimes. Ladies do, I know. They were sitting around, one of them asked them and said, you know, if we were in a vacuum and I spoke, would you hear me? The lady went in deep, deep thought. Then finally she said, was the vacuum on or off? Sometimes we just don't get it. We don't get what it is that God's trying to tell us. Listen, we're going through an unbelievable crisis. Lastly, though, Job was about to prove his unfazed commitment. See, in verse 20, it says, then after all this has happened to him, he's lost his family. He's lost his sheep. He's lost his camels. He's lost his oxen. He's lost, at this point, not friends, but he would have. Or he would lose them later. All these things. Verse 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle, tore his clothes, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. You see, we see Job's reaction. He went into a time of mourning. It's okay to mourn, folks. It's okay to mourn the loss of family. It's okay to mourn when things are happening. That was normal. He tore his clothes. But then, what does the Bible say he did? He blamed God, didn't he? He said, I'm going to curse you and die. No, he didn't. He fell down and worshiped. You see, in the midst of this terrible thing going on in his life, and folks, I know everybody's got terrible things going on in your life. I know you do. But he had the courage to do his mourning, to do his weeping, and then fall down and worship God. See, God knew how Job would react, but I don't believe Job knew. I believe Job had to go through this before he really realized the contentment that only God can give you. when he realized that God is the only thing that brings true joy in our life. You see, we can try to hang on to our riches and different things, and different people have different amounts of stuff. We can make that our God, or we can say, I'm going to worship God even if I lose it all. I'm going to worship God even if I lose that job. I'm going to worship God even if I lose a family member. I'm going to worship God even if I lose my health. I'm going to worship God because, by the way, Job lost that too. Great boils came on him and things on his feet and people would shun him because he was so scary looking and so contagious looking. He lost it all. But yet, he fell in worship. We see his response in verse 21. He said, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard that quoted, didn't you? Listen, when Job speaks, he doesn't attack God, but he offers praise for who God is and what God had done in his life. See, what Job says, you know what? I came in this world naked, and I'll go out of this world naked. He said, but you can take my family, you can take my friends, you can take my health, you can take my life, but you cannot take God from me. Wow, what a... If a Baptist church was ever going to say amen, that was the time. You think about it. You can take everything, but you can't take God out of me because I've got God. And I'm content with God, and I'm praising God, and I'm loving God. And he's the most important thing to my life. You can do all this other stuff to me, but you cannot snatch me out of God's hands. Now, folks, I'm telling you, that's what truly loving God means in your life. We see Job's realization in 22. He said, and in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Folks, you've got to be awful careful when bad things come your way that you don't blame God. Because see, God, there's one thing I know. I don't know everything about God that I ought to know, but I know this. When we go through things in our life, the furthest thing from God's mind is to make you bitter. The closest thing to his mind is to make you better. God wants us to be better people. He wants us to be better servants. He wants us to be better lovers of him and not bitter over things that go our way. You see, we should do like Job. We should keep walking with the Lord in spite of what happens to us. Over in chapter 42, so we've gone all the way through it. I just want to read you, beginning in verse 13. I've already gone through how God had replaced all of his wealth. He said he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third Kerinhapuk. All you looking for names for your grandkids and kids, there you go. He said, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and the father gave them their inheritance among brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years and saw his son and his son's sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Folks, no matter what's going on in your life this morning, there's only one answer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're putting your hope and your trust and your faith in people, you're going to be disappointed. If you're putting your hope and your trust and faith in material things, you're going to be greatly disappointed. If you're putting your trust in your own health and your own abilities, you're going to be greatly disappointed at some point in time. This morning, What I want everybody in here to just think, if that had happened to me, how would I react? Would I have cursed God to his face and walked out? Would have I stayed the course, not knowing all the answers, not knowing why we have to go through certain things, but knowing that God had us and had our back? If you're here this morning, you've been dealing with your own salvation, then in just a couple of minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to walk forward. If you're here and you've made a profession of faith, you're going to have an opportunity to walk forward. If you're here and you know this is where God's leading you to join fellowship with his church, in just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to do that. If you're here and you just know that there's some things you got to get off your chest with the Lord, then we've got an altar that's ready for you this morning. Please do what God is tugging on your heart to do as we pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time you've given us. And God, I praise you for the life of Job. And God, what an inspiration that should be to all of us. Lord, help us put aside the pity parties and help us just say, God, help me. Lord, you've got this thing. I don't know what it is, but you've got it. And trust you and you alone, God. Lord, I love you and I praise you for the things that I know you're about to do, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.